is, I think we maybe need some chairs at the back. There's one or two seats down the front. If one or two folks maybe want to slip into the front here and allow folks in the back. Is everybody okay? Has everybody got a seat? Everybody quite comfortable at the back?
Okay.
I think we're okay. I think we're fine. Okay. No, we're okay. That's fine. Well, just a very warm welcome to everyone that's come to the meeting tonight. It's good to see you. And it is warm, and I'm sure you'll excuse me if I just divest myself of the jacket at the moment. It's good to see everyone that's come, and it's tremendous just to see the hall so well filled. And that's a great encouragement to a little group of believers that meet here. And it's really an encouragement to all our hearts just to see the number of people tonight that's got an interest in the preaching of the Word of God. Now, if you're here for the first time, we are glad to see you. I don't know what you're expecting. You're not going to hear the greatest preacher, but you will hear the greatest message. The greatest message that has ever been told is the message of the gospel. And the preaching might not be very good, but I want to tell you the message is the best message that you'll ever hear. A message of the Saviour's love. A message that is centred on the person of the Lord Jesus and how the Lord Jesus Christ can meet your need now and can meet your need for all eternity. So it is good to see you. But thank you for coming. And we just want to invite you to keep on coming. Because these meetings will continue in the will of the Lord. Next week, there'll be no meeting tomorrow night or Saturday night, but we'll be back again on Sunday night in the will of God at 8 o'clock, on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, every night at 8 o'clock for the preaching of the gospel. So it is good to see you tonight, and we want you to remember the meetings, if at all possible, and come as often as you can. And if you can invite others to come, then we'd appreciate that as well. There is a wee room at the side, and we can put people there, so don't be put off. We'll make accommodation for all that are free to come, and we're sure of that. There's seats up here as well, and I don't mind people sitting behind me, sitting in front of me, sitting at the side of me. It doesn't really matter. If you want to keep coming and bring others with you, and I'm sure the Lord will bless us abundantly tonight and in these nights to come. Every night at 6:15 there's a meeting for the children. That is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, meetings for the children. And then every night at 7:15 there's also a meeting for prayer, just to lay hold on God, that God would really move in the power of His Spirit and touch and change lives at this time. So thanks again for coming. We're now going to read just a few verses from the Bible. We're still in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, and we're going to commence reading tonight at verse number 21. Mark's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, we've really been looking at Mark's Gospel over these past few nights. We've been looking at the man that Mark is writing about, the man Christ Jesus. We were noticing that Mark presents him as the Son of God, and we were thinking about the importance of having right thoughts about the Lord Jesus, having elevated thoughts concerning him, that he's more than just Jesus of Nazareth. He's more than just a figure of bygone history. That Jesus Christ is no less than the Son of God, the one that the Father sent to be the Saviour of the world, to be your Saviour and mine. So we were looking at the man, and then we were looking at his message, because Mark presents to us the first message that Jesus preached, and it was a message of repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. And we were stressing the other night there the importance of having right thoughts about our sin, and having a right attitude towards our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was appealing to men and women to repent of their sins, to turn away from their sins, to forsake them, to see their sin as God sees them, and to cry to God for His cleansing and His forgiveness. And so we notice that the message of the Lord Jesus was a message of repentance and faith. Repent and believe the gospel. The need to have a personal faith and trust in God and in His Word and in His Son, the Lord Jesus. As I just look over the audience tonight, I want to challenge you right at the start of the meeting. Has there been a time in your life when you've repented of your sins and you've believed the gospel? Has there been a time when you've put your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and through that faith came into the joy of God's forgiveness and God's full and free salvation? The message of the Lord Jesus is repent and believe the gospel. Last night we were thinking not so much of the man or his message, we were thinking of his magnetism. We were thinking of the drawing power, the attractiveness of the Lord Jesus. And we thought of how that the Lord Jesus, as he walked along the shores of Galilee and through the little fishing villages that dotted the shore, he could say to one and another, Simon, Andrew, James, John, follow me. And they left everything just to follow Christ. And we thought of the attractiveness of Jesus of Nazareth. At this point, he had performed no miracles. At this point, he hadn't manifested his glory. He was just simply dressed in the peasant garments of the people of his day. And these men heard his voice, and they were drawn after him. And they became followers, they became disciples of the Lord Jesus. And we were suggesting last night that the Lord Jesus Christ still appeals to the hearts of individuals. That he knows every one of us by our name. He knew everyone that was in the meeting last night. He knows everyone that's in the meeting tonight. And he makes a personal appeal. Come after me. Follow me. These men that we read about in Mark chapter 1, immediately they left all and followed Christ. What about you tonight? I wonder, are you still hanging back? Are you still trying to think it all out in your mind? Or I wonder, have you had such an inward revelation of Christ that you've been prepared to abandon your all, to surrender everything to him? That's what he's looking for tonight. He's looking for individuals, not simply to make a decision about him, but he's looking for individuals to become disciples of his, to abandon all, to foresee everything, to be abandoned to Christ and identified with him every moment of every day of the life. And so that's really where we're up to in Mark's Gospel. The verses we're going to read about tonight are verses that would bring before us not so much his attractiveness, but that would bring before us his authority. In verse number 21 it says, "And they," that is the Lord Jesus and these disciples that he called to him, "they went into Capernaum, and straightway, immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold your peace, and come out of him. And when unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new teaching is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." And that's all we'll read tonight. And again, we're sure God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. As I mentioned a few moments ago, these verses really bring before us not so much the attractiveness of the Lord Jesus, but the authority of the Lord Jesus. We notice in the first two verses that we read, verses 21 and 22, we've got the authority that he had to explain and expound the scriptures of truth. And in the second part of the verses that we read, we've got his authority to expose and to deal with evil. That's what we're going to look at tonight. The authority of the Lord Jesus to take the Old Testament scriptures and to explain them with authority and power and impact on his hearers. And the authority of the Lord Jesus to expose evil. To expose all that is sinful, all that is wrong. And not just to expose it, but to deal with it. And to deal with it radically and completely. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has got the power, he's got the authority to explain the scriptures. And he's got the authority and the power to expose evil. You see, sometimes coming into a meeting like this can be quite a challenging experience. Sometimes it can be a very searching experience. Sometimes it can be an experience that causes people to be rather anxious, because oftentimes in meetings like this, their whole life just comes before them. Things that they had long time forgotten about. All those skeletons that they'd hidden in the cupboard from their bygone life, suddenly in meetings like this, it all comes before them. And all that they've done and all that they are in themselves and all their sinfulness is suddenly exposed. And maybe you'll discover that tonight as you sit in the seats. And maybe you've just came into our meeting tonight out of curiosity. Maybe you've come just to please a friend or a neighbour or a member of your family that has asked you. Maybe you've just drifted into the meeting. And you're just here. Well, you're just here. It may be before the meeting's finished that the Lord Jesus will do a work in your life.
It may be before the meeting's finished that the Lord Jesus will just expose to you what you really are in the sight of God. Maybe the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit will just start to convict you tonight about your sin. And show you just what you look like in the sight of the Holy God and all the putridness of your sin and your iniquity. But praise God, the one that exposes sin is the one that can also deal with sin. And that is the function of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in the meeting tonight, will expose evil. He'll expose sin in your life and your heart. But he does so not just that you might feel ashamed, not just that you will feel anxious and concerned, but the Holy Spirit will expose your sin in order that you might experience the cleansing power of the precious blood of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, to me, he has got power, the authority to expose what's in people's hearts. The power to expose what's in people's life, to manifest their sin to them and to convict them of that sin. But praise God, he can deal with it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from every sin. Hey, what a message. Through this man, the man Christ Jesus, is preached unto us the forgiveness of sins. Maybe that's what you're longing for, isn't it? Which is maybe you've been troubled about your sin for a long time. Maybe every night you've sat in these benches, you've been troubled about your sin. The Holy Spirit has been convicting you. The Holy Spirit has been rebuking you. The Holy Spirit's been challenging you about your sin, and you're ashamed of it tonight. My friend, you can be forgiven of it all tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Would you not like to have a clean slate before God tonight? Just to stand before God, made righteous in the precious blood of the Lamb, cleansed from every part of sin. That's what God's offering tonight. He's offering cleansing. He's offering forgiveness. It's little wonder that Paul, as he writes to the Christians in Rome, writes these ones. He says, blessed, happy, full of happiness is the man whose transgressions are covered, whose sin is forgiven. Do you know anything about that happiness today? But I wonder, could it be that every time you hear the word sin mentioned, when you start cowering behind the bench in front of you, and you start dropping your head, if you don't think the preacher doesn't see anything when he's standing up here, I can see as much at the back of the hall as I can see at the front, and it's amazing, you know, at times when you start preaching about sin and people's heads just get in. Maybe you've been like that. And you don't like people speaking about sin, and you don't like the preacher getting too personal because it gets right into your heart and you're convicted. And you know that everything's no right between you and God. Oh, my friend, listen, these feelings of anxiety about your sin, these feelings of shame about your sin, and the whole burden of your sin can all be removed in it. The Lord Jesus not only exposed the evil in the man, but praise God, he had the answer. He had the answer. And the Holy Spirit, yes, he'll convict the world of sin. He'll convict you of sin tonight as you listen to the preaching, but praise God, he's got the answer. He's got the answer, and the answer's in the blood of Jesus. How can you get that forgiveness? How can you experience that cleansing? Maybe that's what you're longing for. Well, John, as he writes his wee epistle at the end of the New Testament, says, if we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you can get cleansing tonight, by confessing. Well, you don't need to come and confess to the preacher. I would rather know about your sins. I've got enough of my own. And you certainly don't need to go and see any priest, my friend, because he's got enough of his own as well. My friend, it's God that you need to confess to. Because it's God that you've sinned against. And the other night there we read from Psalm number 51, and we read about the experience of David when he cried against thee, and thee only have I sinned. Oh God, I've sinned against you. Do you realize that every sin you've committed has been against God? Every sin has offended God. It's hurt God. It's grieved God at the very innermost part of his being because he hates it. Not only hates sin, but he hates to see men sinning. Oh, how must God feel when he looks down and he's there certain? When he not only sees sin, but he sees the dreadful, devastating effects of sin on the whole community. Broken, wasted, ruined lives and homes. Society has crumbled round about us, and it's all because of sin, and God sees it, and the heart of God is grieved. But the God that is grieved over our sin has made provision for its cleansing. Oh, my friend, the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, says the Bible, there can be no remission, no forgiveness of sins apart from blood shed. Apart from a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus says, this is my blood. This is my blood which is shed for many for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, my friend, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. All the sins of the past and all the sins of the future, they can all be cleansed tonight in the precious blood of Jesus. And all God's asking you to do is to confess it. Maybe that's the big stumbling block in your life, eh? You see, there's no proud man ever gets forgiveness. There's no proud woman ever gets forgiveness. Because I tell you, we've got to be stripped of pride when we come to that point when we just come low into the presence of God and say, God, I've sinned. I've sinned! I wonder, have you ever been there? If you've never been there, you're still unforgiven, you're still unconverted, you're still lost. My friend, you can come here tonight. You can come to that point in your spiritual history. The Holy Spirit is revealing your sin to your heart. If you're starting to feel convicted and ashamed of your sin, my friend, you can come to the point right now where you can just come into the presence of God and say, God, I've sinned. I just want to come clean to him. I don't want to hide behind any cloak of hypocrisy or self-righteousness or religion. Lord, I just want to come clean with you. I just want to tell the story as it is. God, I've sinned. It's me. It's not society. It's not my friends. It's me. I've sinned. You prepare tonight to take responsibility before God for the mess of your life, for the sin of your life. I was speaking to someone just recently about a case that's coming up soon, and there's two accused, and you know, one's going to dub the other one in. And the other one's going to dub the other one in. You know what it's like? You know, they'll do anything and everything, but take responsibility for what they've done. That's what the court, that's what happens in the courts day in and daily, doesn't it? How difficult it is for people just to take total responsibility for what they do. That's what God's asking you to do. He's asking you to take total responsibility for what you've done and what you are in your life. Just to come before him and say, I've sinned. I've sinned. Nobody else to blame. Think of the words in Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. I think God wants you to reason with him. God wants you just to come clean with him tonight. God wants you to approach him tonight about your sin. Because he wants to cleanse it. Oh, he doesn't want to judge your sin. He doesn't want to punish you for your sin. He wants to cleanse you from your sin. He wants to forgive you from your sin. But my friend, if you don't accept the forgiveness that he's offering, then there's coming a day when he'll need to punish you. My friend, don't you go away from the meeting tonight thinking there's a God in heaven that's all grace and all mercy and he'll just overlook all that everybody does. My friend, I want to tell you, God will not overlook everything that we do. He's a God that's ready to forgive. He's a God that's willing to forgive everyone that comes in confession. my friend, those that don't come, those that are too proud to come, those that think they're too big to come, those that are still enjoying their sinful life and their sinful practices and their sinful habits, and they don't come to Christ for His cleansing, my friend, they'll come under God's judgment. Serious thing to come under the judgment of God, isn't it? The Bible talks about a judgment day that's yet to come, when the dead, small and great, are going to stand before a great white throne. The one that sits in that great white throne is the man that hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, the blessed Son of God that shed His blood for the cleansing of man's sins. And that blessed one will sit on that throne, and the dead, small and great, will stand before Him. Books are going to go. And every single man, every single woman is going to be judged according to the things that are written in the book. Solemn to think there's a record in heaven of your life. There's a record in heaven of mine. There's a record in heaven of everything that we've done, everything we've said, every thought that has coursed our mind. It's all there. It's all in heaven. This is your life. It's in the book. And I'm sure some of you older folks in days gone past, you used to watch the program on the telly, This Is Your Life, Eamon Andrews. And how there was individuals and they sat in that chair and they started to squirm when some of their past was brought before them. But you know, before that program was ended, everybody was joyful, everyone's happy as their life was reviewed. I want to tell you, my friend, those that stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I want to tell you, they'll be there, and there won't be a single voice raised in protest, and everyone will just look at their life, and they'll hang their head in shame, and they'll need to confess on that day, I'm guilty. As the Lord Jesus Christ on that occasion reviews the lives of mankind, there'll be no cleansing, there'll be no forgiveness, there'll be no salvation then. It'll be too late. And the sentence will be passed, and these individuals will be cast. Cast out of the presence of Christ, cast down, cast into the lake of fire. To suffer the consequences, the punishment of God for their sins. Serious business, isn't it? The sins won't seem so pleasurable then, you know. When you stand and gaze into the eyes of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of all Lords, when you stand and gaze in His eyes on that day, what will you think about your pleasures, and your habits, and your sins? Will they have been worthwhile? Will they have been worth holding on? Oh, what an awful realization will grip the soul. To realize that the thing that's going to take them down into the pits and into the darkness of blackness forever, the thing that's taking them down under the judgment of God, is their own personal sin, their own personal guilt before God, and they're there and they're without excuse and they're condemned. Oh, your life's getting open before you tonight, isn't it? You're thinking about things right now that you never thought about when you stepped through the door. You're thinking about your childhood sins. You're thinking about your youth, the sins committed in your youth. You may be thinking about the things that you did at the early part of married life, and you're thinking about the sins that you committed even in the past week, in the past day, and the past hour, and your sin is being exposed in the presence of the Lord tonight. And it's a horrible thing, it's an awful thing. Your sin. Every lie. Every impure thought. Every filthy joke. Every act of immorality. Every selfish motive, it's all sin. It's all coming before you tonight. And the Lord's bringing it before you tonight, not that He may judge you for it. Not that He may condemn you for it. but is bringing it before you that you might confess it so that he can cleanse it. My friend, what will you do about your sin? It's yours. You might not have much as far as this world's concerned, but I want to tell you, your sins are yours. They're nobody else's. They're nobody else's fault. They're your fault. They're yours. Your personal property before God. Your sins. What are you doing with that? You going to continue to cherish them and hold on to them for clear into them? Are you going to delve into them more and more? Are you going to continue in a sinful, selfish way of life? Well, I wonder tonight, are you going to come before God and say, God, I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've grieved you. I've broken your heart. And I just want you to cleanse me. I just want you to forgive me. I just want you to do this. My friend, we're dealing tonight with a God that's rich in his mercy. We're dealing with a God that not only loves us, but loves us with a great love. A love that is eternal, a love that's unfathomable. And even though we've grieved him and grieved him day after day after day, he keeps loving us and loving us and loving us. Longing that we would just come to that point where we say, God, I've sinned. God, I've sinned. And I repent of that sin. I turn away from it. And I'm just asking you to cleanse me in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. My friend, do you believe me that God can cleanse all your sins? Every one of them, every dark spot. My friend, he can. He's promised that he will. He's promised that he'll cleanse from all sin those that confess it. And he'll cleanse it by the precious blood of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus. My friend, you might have come in this meeting as a poor, lost, guilty sinner. You can leave this meeting tonight cleansed, forgiven, saved, reconciled to God on the way to heaven, all through personal faith in Christ and the blessed man that died upon the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ in the presence, in the synagogue in Capernaum, he exposed the evil. But praise God, he not only exposed it, he had the remedy for it. He had the remedy for it. Whenever your sin has been exposed in the meeting tonight, all the evil of your heart, you've been exposed before God for what you really are, a poor, lost sinner. And God has exposed it. In order he might deal with it. In order he might deal with it. But God can only deal with your sin if you're prepared to own up to it. If you're prepared to confess, if you're prepared to repent, then God's just ready and he's willing this very moment to forgive. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. The meeting's finished. My friend, even as I pray, on behalf of the whole company, you pray before God, confess your sin, and he's promised and he's faithful and he's just to forgive your sin, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he'll do it, even as you bow your head and ask him. Our gracious God and our Father, in that worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we just praise thee for the provision that thou hast made for the forgiveness of sins. We realise, Lord God, that without the shedding of blood, without a sacrifice, without a perfect sacrifice, there could be no forgiveness. But we thank you for that one that was willing to come from heaven and live a perfect life on earth and to offer up that perfect life as a sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for that precious blood that was shed, and it's that blood that is able to cleanse the vilest sinner. We thank you, Lord God, that the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus is available right now for sinners to lay hold upon, to cry out for. We thank you, God, that the sinner that confesses their sin tonight will experience the full and the free cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for the wonder that condemned sinners, that filthy sinners, defiled sinners, can stand righteous in thy presence, knowing that they're cleansed, every sin is cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, move in the hearts of those that are still in their sins tonight, expose their sin. But we pray, O God, that they would deal with it tonight in the precious blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Now, just one hymn to close. It's 292 again. Hymn number 292. We'll just sing the first two verses. Just remaining seated. And after we've sung these verses, the meeting is entirely over. Now, we do thank you for coming. We don't make appeals for people to come to the front, but if you are interested and concerned about these things and really long for God's forgiveness and you want to speak to someone and speak to any of the Christians that are here or speak to myself, we'll be quite happy just to sit down and open the Word of God and show you clearly from God's Word how that you personally can know that the forgiveness of God in your life. Remember the meeting on Sunday night in the will of God, 8 o'clock. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 2 says, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. And we do pray that even as the Lord would call, that you would come to me and trust in the Lord Jesus and experience the cleansing of his precious blood. Just remaining seated, 292, verses 1 and 2.